All right, let's jump right into it. We're diving deep into the world of passenger to freighter conversions, you know, turning those old passenger planes into cargo carriers.
It's a fascinating market.
It really is. And apparently, it's pretty unpredictable, too.
Oh, absolutely. And what's really interesting is it's not just about the planes themselves. It's like a snapshot of the whole aviation world. You can see how everything's connected: passenger travel, production delays, the global economy. They all play a part in this market.
Okay, so big picture first.
Yeah.
What's the overall forecast looking like for the freighter market?
Well, Airbus and Boeing, they're both predicting significant growth over the next couple of decades. But it's not going to be a smooth ride. We're definitely in for some turbulence along the way.
Turbulence noted. And speaking of turbulence, the sources point to some headwinds, specifically for the narrow-body conversions, you know, like those 737s and A320s. What's driving that slowdown?
Well, the supply chain's still a major headache. Delays in new passenger plane production are trickling down. It means there are fewer used aircraft available for conversion. Then you've got the engine situation.
Engines?
Yeah. Specifically the CFM56 engine. That's a popular one. Powers a lot of those narrow-body jets. But they're facing shortages. And of course, that drives up costs for the companies doing the conversions. Puts a damper on things.
So it's like a bottleneck effect.
Yeah.
Fewer planes, pricier engines, everyone's feeling the pressure. But hold on, didn't we see a surge in air cargo demand during the pandemic? Wouldn't that offset some of these issues?
You'd think so, right? And for a while, it did. But that pandemic boom has cooled off, things are leveling out, demand softened a bit. Plus, you've got stricter noise regulations in some places, especially in Europe. That makes it harder to operate those freighters, particularly at night.
So it's a triple whammy: supply chain woes, demand slowing down, and regulations tightening up. Oof, sounds tough. But I'm intrigued by how companies are adapting to all this. The sources highlight aeronautical engineers, AEI. They got hit pretty hard, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They had planned to deliver something like 44 converted 737 freighters in 2023. But in the end, they only managed to deliver less than 30 because of all these factors. That's a big difference.
That's got to stink. But instead of just giving up, they're using this time to explore new opportunities.
Exactly. They're looking into converting the larger 737-900s, even those CRJ-900 regional jets. It's pretty impressive, making the best of a difficult situation.
I love that. Turning lemons into lemonade, or I guess in this case, grounded passenger jets into agile cargo haulers.
Yeah.
But what about the wide-body aircraft? Is it all doom and gloom there, too?
Not necessarily. The A330 conversion market's actually a bit of a bright spot. It's a newer player in the P2F world, and it's got some serious advantages over those older Boeing 767s that have been around forever.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Well,
what makes the A330 so special?
Well, think about it. You get 23% more volume than a 767, 7% more payload capacity, a wider fuselage, and bigger doors for those larger cargo pieces.
That's a game changer, especially for e-commerce and those time-sensitive shipments. It's like upgrading from a delivery van to an 18-wheeler. But let's talk about Mammoth Freighters for a minute. They're tackling those massive 777 conversions. What's their story?
Now, here's where things get interesting. They've got a healthy backlog of orders, but they're facing this unusual challenge because delays with the 777X, it's the next generation model.
Okay, I'm a little lost. How do delays with a brand new plane affect a company that's converting older ones?
Well, think of it like this. Airlines with big 777 fleets, like Emirates, they were planning to retire some of their older 777s as those shiny new 777Xs came in. And those older planes, well, they'd be perfect for Mammoth to convert.
So the 777X delay is throwing a wrench in those retirement plans. But how does that actually affect Mammoth? Are they just sitting around waiting?
Not quite. They found a pretty clever way to work around this feedstock shortage, but we'll have to dive into that after a quick break. Stay tuned. We were just talking about Mammoth Freighters and how those 777X delays are kind of messing with their plans.
Right, like a domino effect.
Yeah.
One thing goes wrong, and it impacts the whole market.
It really is. But before the break, we were saying how Mammoth had come up with a pretty clever solution to the shortage of those older 777s.
Yeah, they're not just sitting around twiddling their thumbs, are they?
Not at all. They're thinking outside the box. You see, while the big airlines are holding on to their older 777s.
Because they can afford to.
Exactly. They can afford to keep them flying or to pay for those expensive refurbishments. But smaller airlines, they don't have those deep pockets. And if they can't afford to keep those planes airworthy,
they sell them.
Exactly. Mammoth's swooping in, buying those 777s that the smaller airlines are looking to offload. It's a win-win, really.
Totally. The smaller airlines get some cash flow. Mammoth gets their feedstock. Everyone's happy. It's like this perfect little ecosystem.
It really is. But let's not forget about the other companies in this space. What's happening over at EFW? Jordi Bodo's got them doing some pretty interesting things.
Yeah, we touched on their A330 conversions, but they're not putting all their eggs in one basket, are they?
Nope. They're diversifying. They've actually jumped back into the A380 maintenance game.
The A380. Those massive double-decker planes.
The very same. Remember how some airlines are bringing those super jumbos back into service?
Yeah. Talk about a maintenance challenge. Those things are huge.
They're telling me. But it's a smart move by EFW. Capitalize on those big maintenance checks that are coming due for those A380s.
Keep the revenue flowing while they ride out the narrow-body slowdown.
Exactly. And they're not stopping there. They've teamed up with Takashi Takahashi over at MRO Japan. Remember him?
Yeah, he's their CEO, right?
That's right. They're setting up a whole new conversion line for A320 and A321 freighters at Naha Airport in Okinawa.
So even though the narrow-body market's a bit sluggish right now, they're betting on its future potential, especially in Asia. Bold move.
Very bold. But it shows how confident they are in the long-term demand for these converted freighters.
That A330's got to be helping too, right?
Mm.
All those impressive specs we talked about, are those translating into actual sales for EFW?
Seems like it. They've been able to offset some of that narrow-body slowdown by ramping up A330 conversions. More volume, more payload, bigger doors. It's definitely appealing to cargo airlines looking to modernize.
Makes sense. It's like the A330 is a shiny new sports car in the P2F market, while the 767 is becoming the reliable old pickup truck.
It's a great analogy.
But let's get back to Mammoth Freighters and those 777 conversions. It's a massive undertaking, isn't it? Converting those huge planes.
Oh, absolutely. It's not just a matter of ripping out the seats and bolting on a cargo door. These are complex engineering projects.
So where's all this happening? Do they have some secret hangar hidden away somewhere?
Nothing quite so dramatic. They've set up conversion lines at Aspire MRO in Fort Worth, Texas. And at STS Aviation in Manchester, UK.
Ah, so they've got both North America and Europe covered.
Exactly. Strategic positioning. But yeah, converting those jumbo jets, it's like a giant, intricate puzzle. You need a highly skilled team to pull it off.
Like an orchestra, but with aircraft components instead of instruments.
Yeah. Exactly. Mammoth's got multiple aircraft in progress at any given time. Requires a lot of coordination, you know, to keep things running smoothly.
I can imagine. But before those converted 777s can actually take to the skies, they need to get certified, right? What's the status on that?
They're on track to get FAA certification for their 777-200LR conversion in early 2025.
Okay, so next year.
Yep. And the 777-300ER certification should follow soon after. Plus, they're working on getting validated by EASA and CAA, the European and UK authorities.
So they're covering all their bases, making sure their conversions meet all the global standards.
Yeah.
That's reassuring.
Absolutely. Safety first.
But with all these ambitious plans Mammoth has, I can't help but wonder, is the 777 conversion market big enough for everyone to succeed?
That's the million-dollar question. Brian McCarthy, Mammoth's VP of Marketing and Sales, seems to think that the market might consolidate eventually.
Consolidate.
Yeah, he thinks we could end up with just two or three major players dominating the 77 conversion market. It's a competitive business, survival of the fittest and all that.
So it's a high-stakes game, and only the most strategic companies will survive.
You got it. It's not just about converting the planes. It's about having a solid strategy.
Securing the feedstock, navigating the regulations, building relationships.
All of that. It's about the whole package.
Okay, we're back and ready to wrap up our deep dive into the world of P2F. We've covered a lot of ground, from growth projections to those pesky supply chain issues to some pretty ingenious strategies companies are using.
It's a dynamic market, that's for sure.
It really is. But now I want to look ahead. What's next for this industry?
Well, the future of P2F is kind of tied to a bunch of other trends, you know? Global trade, e-commerce, that push for sustainability in aviation.
Speaking of sustainability, that's a big one. The world wants greener solutions, and aviation's under the microscope. How's this affecting the P2F market? Is converting these old planes actually good for the environment?
That's a tough one. On one hand, you are giving these planes a second life. Less waste, right. And you're not building brand new aircraft.
That's a plus.
Definitely. But those older planes, they can be a bit thirsty, you know? They burn more fuel compared to the newer model.
So it's a trade-off. Less waste, but maybe higher emissions.
It is a bit of a balancing act. But there's another piece to this puzzle. Sustainable aviation fuels, or SAFs. They could really change the game.
Yeah, SAFs. They're made from renewable sources. Could make a big difference for those converted freighters.
Absolutely. But looking further out, keep an eye on electric cargo planes. It's early days, but
Electric cargo planes, wow.
Yeah, they have the potential to completely revolutionize air freight. Imagine zero emissions.
That's incredible. Sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Mm.
But let's talk economics for a second. We discussed those new aircraft production delays and how they're impacting the supply of planes for conversion. What happens if those delays continue or even get worse?
Well, if there are even fewer used passenger planes available, the cost of conversions could go way up. Simple supply and demand, right? It'd make it a lot more expensive for those cargo airlines to get their hands on converted freighters.
So those production delays could actually slow down the growth of the whole P2F market. One problem leads to another. It really shows you how interconnected this industry is.
Absolutely. Everything's connected.
And speaking of interconnectedness, you've got companies like EFW who've been around for a while and newer players like Mammoth all competing. Do you see any big shakeups on the horizon? Mergers? New partnerships?
It's definitely possible. Remember Brian McCarthy's prediction that the 777 conversion market might consolidate?
Yeah, he thinks it'll come down to just a few major players.
Right. I think we could see a similar trend across other parts of the P2F market. As things evolve, some companies might merge, others might specialize, some might get bought out. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
It's like a game of musical chairs.
Yeah.
But let's wrap things up by focusing on the human element for a minute. We've talked about technology, economics, sustainability. But what about the people who actually make all this happen? What role will skilled labor play in the future of P2F?
That's a great point. We can talk all day about automation and robots, but at the end of the day, converting those passenger planes into cargo carriers takes skilled workers, people who really know what they're doing, experienced technicians, engineers, mechanics. It's a reminder that even in a high-tech world, human expertise is still essential.
Absolutely. And as the demand for these conversions grows, so will the demand for qualified professionals. It's a great industry to be in if you get the skills and the passion.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything there is to know about the fascinating world of passenger to freighter conversions. It's been a great journey, lots of twists and turns, but ultimately it's a story about innovation, adaptability, and the ever-changing landscape of aviation.
It's been a pleasure diving into this with you. Your insights and questions have really helped bring this topic to life.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, keep asking those questions, and keep your eyes on the sky. Who knows what the future holds for P2F? Until next time, happy flying, everyone.